Xin Chào, good morning from your own correspondent V, down in Saigon, finding out what, if anything, is still French 70 years after this ceased to be a French colony. Saigon, like many Asian cities, is breathlessly modern, especially in the downtown area. Tall towers of gleaming steel and glass, many that change colour every few minutes once the sun goes down. But a few feet away, people live in crowded slum dwellings on tiny, narrow streets. Add to that the constant thrum that is actually quite pleasing to the ear of what could be up to 7 million motor scooters gliding in packs along the main thoroughfares, especially at the weekend, maintaining a rhythm that keeps the traffic flowing. And on the road, everyone seems equal, an ever-moving river of rubber, metal, and humankind. So now, what do the city guides show the tourists apart from their uncompromising war museum, reminding the world of the horrors that went on? Well, they show off their several iconic buildings, which were all built by the French, starting with La Poste, a wonderful fin de siècle exterior reminiscent of a Parisian railway station. You walk through the wide entrance into a spacious hall, and on either side of the entry lobby, there are two rows of wooden, doored telephone cubicles with the clocks of world cities above them. They're glossy wood inside, but the actual phones have been dismantled and removed. Well, who needs them now when everyone is born with a mobile attached to their umbilical cord? Then you'll walk to a buttermilk-coloured stuccoed building called the People Committee Hall, but it's the Hôtel de Ville to you and me. Looks a lot like the Paris City Hall with its neo-Gothic tall thin spires, and spread out in front of it a long tree-lined rectangular place which is closed to traffic at the weekend, so Saigonese and everyone else can wander up and down in the balmy evening temperature. At the top of the Place, there's a statue of Uncle Ho smiling benignly, and on either side, all the high-end houses of fashion he would ever need. Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Balenciaga. Is there any irony in that, I wonder? Well, then you turn a corner and you look at the twin spires of the Cathedrale de Notre Dame, and the road running parallel to the cathedral goes by the name of Pasteur. You can't disrespect the world's first vaccinator and pasteurizer, which is why they didn't change his name. The other road keeping its old name was for the inventor of the Vietnamese script, a derivation of Mandarin, Alexandre de Horte. And it was another Frenchman who refashioned the traditional rickshaw to make the Ciccolo, originally intended for two slender Asian backsides, belonging to the society people of the day. Nowadays, you can barely fit in one broad Western behind. Those poor cyclists, I don't know how they do it. And we don't stack up too well against these delicate, slender people. However, the Ciccolo is a great way of getting around. And as the sedans on wheels don't have horns, the drivers just call out, beep beep, beep beep, to alert pedestrians ahead of them. So now, to complete the quartet of French magnificence, there's the Opera House, referred to as the Municipal Theatre, just to remind people they're living in an egalitarian society, built in 1898 by French architect Eugène Ferré in the flamboyant style of the Third Republic, with a nod to Charles Garnier, but it's simpler in style. It has 468 seats with perfect acoustics. The granite of the lobby floor and the crystal chandeliers were all imported from France. These days it's used for fashion shows and events rather more than opera. Then, of course, there's the Continental and the Majestic Hotels, all very much in the grand style français. There's Maxime's, and the word for coffee house is café. And though it may be banned from London's restaurants, you can get foie gras with an egg on top in its iconic glass jar. Next time, we'll be looking at the extraordinary phenomenon of Asian selfies. In the meantime, have a good week.